Deer Plugged In. You in on this? Toyota's versatile SUVs roll up their sleeves and take on tough jobs, dress up for a night out, or haul your family and friends with their spacious interiors. And they're available with some real sweet tech. Want a hybrid SUV? Oh yeah, they got those too. All with a slew of standard features so you won't break the bank. Get the juice at Toyota.com, folks.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome in to the DNVR Avalanche Podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, live from Family Sports Center today as the Avs just wrapped up practice. We'll be doing an interview with Alex Newhook a little bit later in the show, so stay tuned for that. But the big news of the day, lots more cuts coming through. None of those all that surprising. A little bit more news on Alex Galchenyuk as well.
Yeah,
after all of our speculation last night. So
let's great interview with Alex Newhook. I'm really looking forward to people hearing that. I think we're plugging it at the end.
Yep.
He was great.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Really looking forward to that.
Super, super excited for you guys to hear all that. And look, that's the show today might be a good bit about Alex Newhook, given training camp is kind of starting to get cut down now. You're starting to see maybe not the full Avalanche roster, but there's really only a couple of spots up for grabs at this point. And in your guys' opinion, has anyone had a better camp than Alex Newhook?
You mean in terms of guys who are looking for jobs?
Yeah, obviously McKinnon is right. Nathan McKinnon, but
I was going to say, Nathan McKinnon's at the best training camp.
Yeah.
He hasn't had to play in any of these bullshit preseason games. He's in no threat of getting hurt in those.
Yeah, yeah.
He looks great, and he just doubled his salary. Like, that dude is living life right now.
Yeah, no kidding. No, I mean, look, Newhook's had a great camp. I asked Jared Bednar today what he's thought of Alex Newhook. Obviously, it was just a couple months ago that we were getting a look at him, right? And he said kind of the same. We just saw him. You know, we were just playing in the Stanley Cup final. And so, you know, good. But he did mention he looks poised to take a step. He looks like he's ramping it up for that next level, ready to compete for those next jobs. And that's, again, going back to days are nothing anymore. Last night, two nights ago, whatever it was we were talking about Alex Newhook last.
It's game day and not game day.
Yeah. I was telling my mom the other night, because I made the same joke. I was like, yeah, I don't know what day it is. She's like, oh, well, at least work's getting started back for you, so I'll bring some regularity. I was like, believe it or not, that'll make it 10 yeah. times worse.
It's much worse during the season.
So it's like, because now work
weekends
days
aren't a thing.
Literally, like, yeah. The only day off that you can pretty much rely on is Sunday, and that's how you like can reset
right.
be like, oh, I know what day it is because it's Sunday, and then after that, chaos.
Right, and then even then, like, oh, we're doing practice today, and it's like, okay. Yep. Immediately forgot what day it was. But that's, for me, what you're looking for out of Alex Newhook. They were just playing 2 months ago. I don't expect you're going to see a huge difference in the player day one. But look, he looks like he's filled out a little bit more size-wise, and he just looks a little bit more mature. You're going to hear about it in the interview. Just he talks a little bit about that experience of going through the playoffs, and I think sometimes people overrate that. We talk about that a lot at the trade deadline. You'll see teams go out and get a guy because he has playoff experience.
Veteraniness.
Right. But it was just interesting hearing from Alex, hey, yeah, that made a difference. And some of the lessons that you learn that, yeah, you don't necessarily realize they're lessons in the moment as you kind of go through it. And I think you will see him.
It was still frustrating to watch Newhook get healthy scratch for Nicolas Alvé-Kubel.
Hey, if he comes out a better player on the other side of it, then...
Worth. They got away with it.
Job well done. Yeah,
they didn't lose any games like that, so it was fine.
But no, for me, like I am, I think we forgot he's a first-year player last year. At times, we forgot that. And he's just a second-year player this year. He's got a ring, but he's a sophomore in the league. I think you will see him taking those steps gradually throughout the season, kind of ramping up. And I think that's really all you can hope for, right?
Right. Yeah. I don't want to peel behind the curtain too far, too, because I heard the interview already, so yeah. I'm sort of thinking about some of his answers. But the maturity he had in acknowledging what he went through watching some of the playoffs from the sidelines and how that impacted him as a player and how he wasn't accustomed to that from past seasons of hockey where he's had a more elevated role, I think it really motivated him coming into this season. And we've seen it in camp and in games that this is a much more natural fit for him. And I don't know if this is what he had always imagined for himself and he just needed more runway to do it. And now there's an opportunity with 2C, or if he truly unlocked a new level in his game because of the motivation from sitting on the sidelines in the playoffs at points. Mm-hmm. Either way, he handled it so maturely, and I really like to see that in such a young player.
100%.
I do think that his mentality, the maturity that you're talking about, is a thing that we've probably overlooked a little.
100%.
Because when you combine... Not just that he was healthy scratch at the start of the postseason. And when he got in, you know, looked pretty good. I mean, he wasn't like a high-impact guy, obviously. Right, but
he was effective in his role.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, he was okay. And that's hard for a young guy who's never done that before to try and learn how to do on the fly in a postseason run. Like, in you know, he's never had to take a backseat on a team before.
Yeah.
And this is the second time this season that he had to do that because – remember, at the start of the season, he goes down. He goes down to the AHL. And we've seen guys go down to the AHL, and they're never heard from.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
And instead, with Newhook, all that we heard, and even when it was going on behind the scenes, yep, all we had heard about Newhook was his mentality, his approach. It was positive. It was upbeat. He took to the coaching. He kept his head on straight. He focused on getting better. I'm going to be the best Alex Newhook that I can be. And he just trusted that that was going to be good enough to get him back into the NHL. And that when he got there, when he did get called back up, it wasn't like, oh, I've got to figure it out. I've got to work my way into it. He walked into the lineup and was like, oh, look, I can play at this level. And never really looked back. And so it's an important thing in a preseason where we've spent so much time talking about Martin Kaut. And we've spent so much time talking about like these like quad A players that have not been able to break in consistently. How much would a different mindset have helped them?
100%.
Not to say that the mindset that they had was bad or wrong or whatever, but with Newhook, it almost gets taken for granted that because it's almost like we just think, oh well, he's just so much better at hockey that stuff doesn't matter as much. And instead, it's a huge driving force
as to why he's here.
Not only why he's as good as he is, but why he stays and why he's improving.
And I think it's a great point because one of the comparisons people have made, at least on the ice, is you're seeing a little bit of that with Martin Kaut this preseason.
Yeah.
You see a little bit of that aggressiveness and want to really, really push it to that next level.
The coaches have said, this is what we want to see from you. And he's saying, okay, bet.
Okay, yeah, cool.
Right.
And he goes out and he's actually doing it and not just going out and being like, well, I didn't get enough ice time and I didn't get this. And I did. It's not about what he's not gotten. It's about what he's done with what he has been given. And I think that's where when you look at a guy like Newhook, you look at his trajectory. That's what – and to an extent, as an extension of this, Evan Rodriguez in Pittsburgh last year. Not his fault that they had all the injury issues. Not his fault that he ended up in the top six. But what did he do with it when he was there?
Right.
He was one of the big surprises of the first half of the season. Now, as they got healthier, they dropped him down the lineup. He was a little less effective from the points perspective of things, but continued from a process standpoint, continued to be a solid play driver and continued the good habits that he started in the first half of the season. And it's just what you do with the opportunities is so important. And, you know, we do talk about, oh, well, you got to put him in a situation to succeed. You got to do this. You got to do that. Look, none of us, the day Alex Newhook was drafted, none of us were like, well, maybe one day he'll be a really good left wing on the third line. Like, it's not the conversation we were having.
Yeah.
We were talking about, could he be a second line center? Can he be a 60 to 70 point guy behind McKinnon? And if not, can he stay at center and be a solid 40, 50 guy and maybe a 3C? Like, at worst.
Yeah.
That was our conversation. They win a Stanley Cup with him as like the 13th forward. Mm-hmm. Because Nico Sturm was hurt, not hurt, you know, like he was like the 13th, 14th ish. He was somewhere between 12 and 14 on that hierarchy on any given day.
Yeah.
And they win the Stanley Cup with him as a rookie like that. He could have taken that as a slight. Are you kidding me?
Right.
Look at my career. Look at what I've done at every level. I'm not going to do that. Instead, he took that back seat. He understood. He accepted it. He adapted as well as he could. But we knew that that's not the role that's laid out for him.
Yeah.
It's hard for guys who have been skill guys their whole lives like that to adjust to that when they aren't a certain style of player. And we saw that with Tyson Jost in his time in Colorado, really struggled to consistently impact games in a more checking style role. But that was kind of where he had to max out. Now with Newhook, we're seeing they're giving him a little bit more of an opportunity. We don't know what that looks like yet. The preseason has been really encouraging.
Yeah.
But he's also, in the preseason, going against the preseason lineups of other teams, too. So it's not like Alex Newhook is just like, oh, one-on-one, just the destroyer of worlds against top players, and he's the only one. He's gotten to go against some weaker lineups, but taken advantage.
Right.
And I think that's where, when the Avs look at their development, their plan of development, how they do it, they can look at a guy like Newhook and say this worked just fine for him.
Right. I was going to say he's the great example of development, what the AHL is meant for. You go down there, you get the reps, and again, to Megan's point, like, I don't want to peel back too much, but, you know, talking about, we say that all the time. Oh, well, let them go get a bunch of reps. You got to do something with those reps. You got to do something with those minutes. And
it is harder when you go down there and they play you 14 minutes a night on the third line,
right,
with no special teams play.
For sure. AHL lifers.
Yeah, with the Ryan, well, like with the Ryan Wagners and the Dalton Smiths and the, you know, like those types of Rob Hamilton, like those types of guys who are like the true like AHL contract guy, like those are tougher situations to succeed in. But again, you've got to do something. And what we've seen with Newhook is it may not be like this like meteoric, oh my gosh, he just figured it out on day one. You know, he had a 33-point year last year.
Right.
So it's not like he was a world beater, but what we saw consistently, good production at even strength. When he got next to little more naturally skilled guys, really looked like a different player. And I think that's the hope this year. We've seen it in camp and preseason so far, next to Evan Rodriguez.
Yep.
Who's the center? Who's the wing?
Doesn't matter.
It really may not matter a lot.
Yeah.
But it looks like those two guys they make a lot of sense to start. They play a similar style of game, and they seem to have a chemistry from the go. You add in a third guy, whether that be Arturi Lehkonen or Val Nichushkin, whatever, you add in one of those guys to that line, and all of us, you're talking about a real, like, a second line.
Yep.
It's not the really high-end multiple 60-point guys and 20 goals falling
at,
out.
At least not on paper.
Not yet.
Right, right.
But this is where you're giving a couple of guys chances to grow in a way that they never have. Those would be three guys who have never played in the top six consistently their entire careers. Now comprise your second line with Lehkonen. If it's Lehkonen, Newhook, and Rodriguez, you're talking about three guys that you're saying, we're going to give you big role. We're going to give it to you with these guys who are also in a bigger role. And we're just going to see how you guys do.
Well, and so I want to go back to the mindset thing because it's part of the reason why you feel, at least I do, you feel so optimistic that he is going to continue taking steps and it's not going to be a problem. So, yeah, obviously we talk about he gets sent down at the beginning of the year and I go back to this first day of camp, and Kaut has had a great camp since. But the conversation on that first day, after we talked to him on the show, we mentioned Alex Newhook. Like, wow, you know, with the way that Martin Kaut was talking, it's just kind of a departure from what we saw from a guy in a similar situation last year in Alex Newhook, kind of that desperation. You know, so shows a great mental toughness there. In the interview, he talks about how hard it was to stay mentally tough in the playoffs when you're not always getting in the lineup, but what huge lessons it is. And then there's a little bit more that when you look at it this year, he's not being given anything. He's not saying, you know, they are not saying you are the 2C. It's your job lose. They're saying you have to go out. You're going to regard. Yeah. You're a Stanley Cup champion. You have a ring. You were on the team last year. You scored 30 points. You have to earn every bit of this. And he seems mentally mature enough for that. To your point, all of these kids grew up and they were always the best player on their team.
Yep.
Or, you know, it was them.
They played on the top power play unit. They were in the top six their whole lives. Like
Their whole life.
These adjustments that some of these guys have to make where they're top guys and all of a sudden you're like, oh.
Right. And that's why you feel, at least for me, you feel good about what Alex Newhook will bring, because after what he went through last year, none of this stuff you don't feel like is going to beat him down. He's never going to get so discouraged or feel like he's not being given an opportunity. He understands you got to battle through that. And he now has seen what the payoff is on the other side when you buy into all that. So,
well, and a big thing, in order to grow as a professional, you have to embrace that challenge.
Mm-hmm. So
you have to embrace it. And he seems really comfortable saying, yeah, they've not given me this.
Yep.
What they've done is they've given me an opportunity to prove that I deserve, that I am worthy of this job.
Mm-hmm.
And it's on me from there.
I do want to pivot that conversation towards Martin Kaut, but we are brought to you by Pins and Aces, the golf apparel source for DNVR. You can go over there to pinsandaces.com, use code DNVR to get 10% off and free shipping. They got all your clothing needs, and as well as they got golf bags. They've got beer koozies that you can put in, it's beer sleeves even, that you can put in your golf bag. So, you know, bring six beers onto the course with you, seven beers actually. Go get that. Go have a great time on the golf course. P.S. If you haven't gotten our golf hat yet, it like sells out every time we put it on the shop. So
the white one?
Yeah.
Every time I wear it, I have people, wow, it's a sick hat. Hey, cool hat.
Yep.
Like, yeah, I know.
It crushes.
I know it.
That's why I'm wearing it, obviously.
Be sure to check that out. We're also brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook, the number one rated sportsbook app out there. Use code DNVR when you sign up with them. Bet $5 on any NFL team to win their next game. And if they do, you get $200 in free bets. So jump on that. Go check them out. Get all the money in there. When you do parlays, you also, for every leg, boost your winnings by 100%. So bunch of opportunities to win a ton of money there. I think you can still bet on McKinnon for the heart at around plus 1,000. Could be a good bet based on training camp. That's all I'm saying. So jump on that. Must be 21 or older. Colorado only. Other terms, restrictions, and conditions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Of course, if you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700.
I'm not going to give it away. I don't want to talk too much about the Newhook interview, but
you already have.
Well,
it's true.
Specifics. I'm very excited for people to hear. We asked him what was like one of his biggest surprises, or who surprised him the most. I said that was an interesting answer because we talk so much about people don't quite appreciate enough.
Well, yeah.
And I'm anxious for
people. You're around things every day.
Yeah, I'm anxious for people to hear that answer because that'll just be a great reminder of
Rudo.
Hey.
On DraftKings, can you bet on Mitch Marner to win the Norris?
I bet you cannot do that. I bet you can.
We really need to get that prop.
We can't?
I would bet you cannot. You might be able to bet on not being able to bet.
What are our odds on that?
Plus a billion? I don't know.
Hey, thank God we couldn't. DraftKings didn't have odds on the over-under for our show last night because I would have.
We all would have lost.
Cleaner. Yeah. I would have confidently put money on the under. On Rudo's under, like with the line he said. I was like, yeah, smash.
He's lost hard on that one.
Yeah.
I'm going to need you to stop tapping on the table.
Sorry.
He did this at Farmhouse. Yeah.
That was me, though. I was the one.
I know.
I was also doing that.
Yeah.
Hey, leave us alone. Leave Brittany alone.
I understand you guys have that nervous energy and you got to do something with it. Just do it in a quieter fashion, please.
I'll get up and start walking back and forth behind the table if you want.
He needs to. He's a pacer. I understand.
We have the fidgetiest group of podcasters of all time. If it's not my leg, it's your leg. Mm-hmm. If it's not our leg, it's him tapping. Yeah, I was going to say, Megan.
Just perfectly still.
No critiques. Still. Yeah,
Megan's,
yeah, yeah.
Megan's just there.
If I don't get a chance to speak, I'm going to flip this to you.
That would be the best way to, look, to end the show.
I like where this conversation is headed because there is a separation in how each player reacts to being sent down to the AHL that we've been dancing around that is important. I think we're going to talk about it with Martin Kaut, and I kind of wanted to use Sampo Ranta as a comparison too. But the way that Newhook responded in being sent to the AHL was to cause such a ruckus that he forced their hand and they had no other choice. Yeah. He was above a point per game and just absolutely lit up the AHL. And it's hard to point to any other prospect that has had that recent experience, Sampo Ranta included, who has had that kind of response when they get back into AHL games. And that's kind of Martin Kaut's problem too, is I know he got injured in that Columbus game when he was up with the F, sent back down, healed, then returned immediately to the AHL. I think that harmed his confidence. And I think he entered those AHL games in return, hoping that he would have been back up with the big club. And it kind of showed because he was doing some things skill-wise that were really impressive. However, there were some details and some effort at the ends of shifts that he wasn't completing assignments and it was harming his game. And I think the organization saw that, looked at it closely, looked at how Newhook responded, yeah. saw both of these things, saw the difference, and it harmed Kaut in that moment. And his response now in camp, it's why it's important to talk about how it differentiates from that response at the beginning of last year.
Yeah, well, the first thing I want to ask about it specifically is on the show last night, the three of us talked about it. If you look at preseason, it feels like Martin Kaut is probably that 12th guy. And obviously, there's more conversation there with Ben Meyer's pedigree and all of that.
I would like to say it struck me as really interesting with the round of cuts today.
Yep.
Not on that list.
Shane Bowers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I genuinely thought that was coming.
Shane Bowers, because you and I had talked about it last night in very violent terms, per usual. But
didn't even tell you. I monologued in my apartment that whole morning about this thing. It wasn't Shane Bowers specific. I was just so frustrated about the usage
it's like
of
your
prospects.
Stand-up routine.
I was going
to
say.
Hear this?
And I was just thinking, like, Lucas Sedlock and Anton Bleed, are you kidding me right now? They are getting such an extended look. Like, this is exposure that I'd really like to see for some of these other players.
Learned a lot about Megan in the last 4 minutes.
Can we get like a 3-minute Megan's monologue Monday or
Megan's monologue?
So angry.
Where you just like stomp around your apartment?
Yeah, I just would love to know what my neighbors think because there's never a response. It's just me talking.
I find that so funny. I love that so much. I'm just picturing you talking at full volume too. Not like, because everyone like whispers to themselves, like walking around, like, where is my bullet? This is like full throated.
So like, funny, like uncomfortable parallel. But I finished watching the Dahmer series last night,
Jesus.
and a big part of that series.
I don't know if I like
just,
this.
Yeah, just follow say. Me. A big part of that series was the behavior of the neighbor. And their perspective on things, and it just makes me wonder, like, what are how uncomfortable are your, is this why you reliably move every 3 months?
It's because my pod backgrounds are always different.
You gotta keep a different set of neighbors on edge, and once they start to get once they're onto you. You got to move again.
She's actually just got like 3 different properties in the metro area, undisclosed locations. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, I met
Megan's
my
flop houses.
House.
Right, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. She's got a couple burner phones.
Burner phones.
That's the thing. We all have a different number for her. We just
don't know it. We're like, why do these group chats not work? I never have Megan's number saved.
We all are just like, oh, we'll just text Megan real quick, and it's all good. It works. It goes through, yeah. But she just has a different burner phone. It's very smart.
Megan's sitting in her apartment with 3 phones in front of her, ranting about Shane Bowers.
Yeah. Okay. It's not just Bowers.
Which one? Where's the Joe Sackett Chris McFarland burner phone so that you can
yeah.
You can rant to the appropriate party next time.
I think Joe would listen.
Yeah.
He is a really nice guy.
Super nice.
Well, I mean, so let's get into this conversation because, Megan, I do want to get your thoughts on Kaut's opportunity to make the team this year and then where Shane Bowers falls into that hierarchy right now.
You said something that made me want to go down a tangent road.
Someone asked me, like, is it realistic for Kaut to make the team? And I think it is realistic, but is it likely? No. And it's just how I've seen opportunity happen before. I see Ben Myers sticking, even though I've been a little underwhelmed with Myers. I'm still really high on him personally, too. Like, that isn't meant to be a harsh critique of Myers. I just think he hasn't acclimated as well as I thought he would based on what I saw at the end of last season.
You can believe that a guy is still going to be fine and understand that his preseason has not been up to snuff.
What you just said was actually part of the reason why there were three cuts this morning that I was surprised by. Jonas Johansson, Brad Hunt, and Charles Udon, for the reason you just named, not because I thought their camps were particularly great. I just thought they wouldn't be able to help themselves but to put the NHL experience guys in the lineup, 13th forward, whatever.
Who do you think is still hanging around? Because Lucas Sedlak and Anton Bleed are still sitting there waiting to crush Martin Kaut's last chance.
And again, those were just like three of the names that I had put kind of in that grouping. So I was like,
Jason Magna's still hanging around.
I agree with you on Hudon. I think that one was a little bit surprising.
I was surprised by Hudon too, because Bednar liked him.
Again, not based on anything that I thought. They won't be able to help themselves but to put Brad Hunt in.
They won't be able to help themselves when Anton Bleed is the 12th forward on opening night.
That's the one I'm afraid
of. Because Sedlak, I think that you could make an argument for. All these other guys, I would feel like, I could see what they're seeing. But I think they're going to look at 80 games in Boston or whatever it was and be like,
"Let's just play him. Yeah.
He'll be fine."
Yeah.
No trust. They win a Stanley Cup and still no trust.
Yep. Well, and that I honestly just have. I've gotten to the point. I was talking to, I think it was Rachel, Richlinski, Rachel Toss now, about, like, I am at the point where they make some of these moves like this where I'm like, okay, I'm going to trust that you, like, at this point, you know more than me by a lot, but also, wow, this doesn't make sense to me.
We've been down this road 15 times before.
Right.
And no one's ever happy with it at the bottom of the lineup.
Yeah, nobody ever likes the bottom of the lineup decisions. Nobody's ever is like.
How does it happen, Megan? How does Martin Kaut get the job?
You look actually pissed. Yeah. Like, I'm not sure what happened. I'm over here thinking about the monologue. The look on your face is genuinely upset.
I don't know how it happens.
Is the path realistically?
Something glad I'm over here.
He goes down to the AHL and he pulls an Alex Newhook. He dominates at the AHL level.
It's feasible, sure, but I think he has a different mentality. I think he's a reactive player, and it's not necessarily a bad thing because he'll play with passion and he'll respond positively like we saw from day one in camp through now. But I think that'll be really detrimental to his confidence in a bad way. And
it'll be fine when he's in Arizona for playing for the Coyotes.
Yeah.
I've texted about, like, I actually, this sounds mean, but it means well, that a Tank for Bedard sweepstakes team would be such a good fit for him.
Yeah. Yes.
I told Jillian, like, after day one, actually, that's what inspired this conversation. I think that's the best fit because he is someone that needs a little more runway, and I think that would benefit his game stylistically to have a little more visibility. Time on ice. Exactly. He needs more than 8 minutes. And every player is different, and you want to see a player overcome that, right? Like, you want to see him make the most of an 8-minute opportunity if that's what he's given in an NHL lineup.
Chicago's just licking their chops. Mm-hmm. Like,
send him down.
Cole Gutman had a preseason goal. Let's go, Nears.
I got a DM about that from somebody who was like, Pios, and I was like, okay, it's a preseason
it's
goal.
One of my burners.
Yeah.
The first and last thing I will care about Chicago doing this season.
My prediction
not at all. They're going to claim Martin Kaut, and then when they trade Patrick Kane to Minnesota, we're all going to be mad.
They can still get eliminated in the first round after that. It's fine.
My official prediction for Martin Kaut is a lot more upsetting than that one. I think he's actually going to make the team and then get sent down after like 3 or 4 games just as the team gets healthy, and then that'll be it.
Well, and if that happens,
I don't think he does.
Ultra sad, but you don't think he makes it at all?
Nope. I think they're not going to be able to resist the temptation of Sedlak or Bleed.
Well, I agree.
Or both.
So here is the other thing too that I
especially Sedlak.
I'm just going to play devil's advocate here a little bit. We're like, at a certain point, it's just like, yeah, that's probably the right call. If he didn't do enough to like separate in their eyes, then it's like, I mean, yeah, okay, then what are you really that upset about,
the
right?
The dude who separated here was Bleed was the worst by a
lot. No, and I agree with you. I agree with you. I'm more talking about from the Martin Kaut angle.
You're saying, but
it's frustrating, though, because you will see a guy, like, have a much better preseason. Mm-hmm. And you're like, why have the preseason Yeah, if it's not going to matter and you're just going to be like, but that guy has 160 games played.
Just play the last two games where all the starters play and start the season. Like, what else are we doing here?
Now, like, why bother scheduling them? Why bother having this camp? Why bother with any of that at that point where you just continue to do this, make the same choice? So,
do you think
anyway, they haven't even made that choice, so I'm not going to get mad about it until it happens. But, like, I have full faith that it's going to be one of Sedlak, Bleed, or both that it ends up being at the end here. Because
conspiracy theory here. Do you guys think there's any way that they send him down to see if you get the response out of him that you want?
Like, I think with the threat of waivers.
Yes, I'm sorry. Disregard my question. It's a stupid question. I keep forgetting that because you are correct.
Well, because that's where I wonder if the math changes for them.
Yes.
Yeah. Where they would say, we're pretty confident we can get Anton Bleed through waivers.
Yeah.
Martin Kaut. Yeah.
For whatever you feel about Kaut, keep in mind this is the same team that saved his ELC after he played 9 games.
Yeah.
It's not like they're totally over the guy.
Right.
It's true. Yeah. And the conversations that I've had around the organization have led me to believe, one, he very much has a chance to make this team, regardless of my level of faith on it. Two, if he doesn't, it's not the end of the world.
Right.
Like, it's really not, like, if he gets claimed and he goes on to be successful elsewhere, that relationship has ended, and it's pretty easy to say the Avs failed that situation.
So, very quickly here, Shane Bowers, any significant feelings there?
I'm just happy that he might get another game. I had him written off, honestly, after he didn't play last night, that just didn't bode well for him, and I wanted to see him get at least one more preseason game.
You know, it's one of those situations where him not playing...
And Bednar said that he likely will.
If him not playing is either really bad or really good.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't feel really good.
This, I think this is setting up. I think Bednar wants to see him with the NHLers.
Yes, yeah. I agree.
And say,
thank you.
Okay, if we see him next Monday in Dallas, next Monday, did I do this again? Is that game on Monday? No, it's Monday and Wednesday.
Yeah, there's no way
it's Monday and Wednesday.
That,
yeah.
Well, we might not be able to see anything from that game.
But I think he's setting it up. When Bowers was not on the cut list today, I went, huh.
Interesting, yeah.
Because to me, that was, look, Kaut has deserved to stay and play and practice and continue, whatever. But for me, I think Bauer's not going down. It would not make sense to me to keep Bowers to cut him on, like, Sunday.
That would just be toxic.
Right. we did find out today that the Avs have a couple of injuries. Guys who are nursing some things.
Yep.
Cogliano and McDermott. And so I do wonder, for the preseason anyway, is that the spot? Is Cogliano... Cogliano was totally healthy, would Bowers be on that list today?
I mean, if Cogliano wants to miss the first 20 games of the season, I think everybody wins.
Yeah.
If Cogliano wants to miss the first 82 games of the season, I don't like.
I know.
First 70. All right, let's get him in the game.
And that's not a knock on Cogliano. I'm more of just saying, like, that's how valuable he was in the playoffs. Yeah. And it's like, yeah, that's all you're looking for.
If you break your hand in game 77,
yeah,
I'm gonna be so mad.
Right. So the couple of injuries, and then I do just want to make sure we circle back around to Alex Galchenyuk. I know we're getting pressed on time here. But Jared Bednar did confirm today, confirmed AJ's speculation last night. And I want to give you double credit because at that point it was purely speculation. Like, we hadn't even had the chance to talk to anybody, and you just nailed it based on context clues. Alex Galchenyuk
been around the team for a little while.
Yeah. Did suffer an injury, and that Jared Bednar said today it's going to cause him to miss significant time, and he basically said, hey, look, we have a roster we're trying to put together. We didn't have time to wait to see if he get back. He did say we may circle back around when he's healthy, because he immediately then went into talking about he really liked he didn't say really, but his enthusiasm suggests he really liked his game. He specifically called out that he liked the details in his defensive game, which were a big, he said, knock coming in, and we liked it. Yep, got the injury. And that's about it. You feel for Alex Galchenyuk, because you were making the point right before we went live. That literally could shows how brutal this business is. That could be the difference in your career continuing or even reviving, and that career may be done depending on how significant that injury is.
Yep. Because now a team may he may not have clear medicals. You're not talking about, oh, he doesn't like the back check. You're like, well, he doesn't like the back check, and he now only has one arm.
Right,
you know,
right,
like you don't, because we don't know what the injury is, but
no, he didn't say.
It sure sounded pretty. It did not sound like, oh, like he twisted his ankle. Like it sounded like he had his ankle removed or something.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
He got, it was pretty dark, like mm-hmm. the way that he talked about it. So
yeah.
It sounds like a serious injury.
Mm-hmm. It is
and
a bummer.
That sucks, dude.
It sucks a lot because really I think all four of us had commented that again within the context of what we had seen and we were like, yeah,
yeah,
like him so far.
Yeah,
especially
absolutely.
With these injuries. It sounds like the coaching staff was liking him and I love the fact that he first and foremost called out the defensive part of his game. Man, that's disappointing because how much of this conversation changes, you know, if you're talking about, wow, Galchenyuk has really come in here and surprised, you're not talking about who are these tweeners. It's no, can you do it again? Can you revitalize another career?
Yeah.
And it's all exciting, and now it sucks to lose that.
Right.
You hope for the I hope for Alex Galchenyuk, the person and the player, that the Avs do circle back around and maybe take another PTO look
next year
or even in season this year. Doesn't cost you anything to have him come out and skate.
Yeah, I have a really hard time seeing it happening.
I fully agree.
This year, just because
yeah.
once you get into the rhythm of it, and once you get going, and depending on how long it is, like we've talked about, the second half of the season is not for tinkering.
Nope,
it's for tightening the screws. Okay, this is what we want. Now, at the end of last year, the Avs were full on tinkering, but mm-hmm. they had a bunch of new guys, they had a bunch of injuries.
Well, and they were also 35 points ahead of the pack.
They had clinched with a month left to play, so they were in a situation where they were free to fuck around.
They
completely free.
They were in a situation to try Mitch Marner on defense, not
yeah.
not an organization yeah. that has like 10 jobs at stake this
yeah.
year.
Megan, did you want to add anything on Galchenyuk?
I wanted to point out AJ's point about Bowers and Cogs because the same practice that Galchenyuk missed, Cogs left early. He looked like he took a puck to the face, something like that. And I think that influenced him not being in the lineup last night and not being cut. He's out there doing PK work with special teams, with Bleed as well. And I think they're trying to get him some looks defensively, which is just an area that he needs to work on generally, but also with the Cogliano injury in mind, that's probably why Shane Bowers is still around.
And if that gives him a look with the NHL guys next Monday
I'm
in Dallas,
here for it.
If that gives him that look and Shane Bowers has a good game in the depth, he's my dark horse for this reason, because center wing versatility, speed, and the maturity of Shane Bowers.
He's very well-rounded.
The maturity of Shane Bowers, the human being, the approach that he has, if he can just put it on the ice, what we know to be true of Shane Bowers in his game, he is tailor-made, and we have been making this point for 4 years, he is tailor-made for Jared Bednar to just love him.
Bednar's really liked his camp.
Yeah, as he mentioned today, he's seen it in games
yep.
more than in the past.
Yep.
Did he just break his hand?
I thought he might have. Anyways.
Anyway, yep.
Hope not.
I'm like, oh, anyways, he's out there like writhing around. Please help somebody.
Heard Breckenridge Brewery. Help numb that hand. Go get yourself some beer from Breck Brew. They're amazing. Go
if you want to numb the pain.
Yeah. Breckbrew.com for more details on them. You can use their Breck Brew beer finder on there. Check out the Hootenanny October 8th and 9th. All that good stuff. Check them out. Also, Green Mountain Dental Group. If you need to take care of your teeth. They'll do a better job than making you feel like you just broke your hand in your mouth.
October 19th, I finally caved. I had to cancel a couple during the playoffs, and I put it off for, I don't know, two additional months. But
classic.
I did.
Love
I did.
That you waited till the season got going again. You got all summer to take care of it. Because this is like classic, like, I've got all summer.
I just had this conversation with Danielle. With Danielle in the locker room. Just had that conversation.
Yeah. Got all summer.
Check
Wait
out
till it's over.
Green Mountain Dental Group to get yourself scheduled, even if you've been putting it off. They'll take great care of you. Get a cleaning, x-ray, and exam with them.
No
and
judgment.
You get a free Sonicare toothbrush just for taking care of your teeth. And, yeah, so at this point, we're going to go.
We also – we Hassle Cattle is back. Hassle Cattle is back as one of our partners. And I was – we have them at the tailgate. Yeah, I ordered some of their just, you know, online last year. And it's just as good when you get it, like, you know, frozen, delivered, as when you get it at the store. So, yeah, happy to have Hassle Cattle back.
yeah, their burgers are ridiculous.
Nighthawk is going to be so excited.
Yeah, she's pumped.
I still have you guys seen any bread recently? I haven't got any bread recently, so I'm not too interested in what Nighthawk's up to unless it's bread related.
Is it payday?
On that note, we're going to bring you guys the Alex Newhook interview we did, so flip over to that and hope y'all enjoy it. You won't hear from us again on the show because that's pre-recorded, so and we'll see you later.
Megan volunteered to jump off. So before you guys bully us, she volunteered to jump off because we only had four mics.
Before you guys bully
us. I started crying.
Us.
I said, why won't you let me talk to Newhook? And they said, no.
And then if you can believe it, Allie was like, look, Megan, I only brought four mics. Get the F out of here, all right? Unbelievable.
Absolutely not.
We thought Allie would be in such a good mood on her birthday, and she just came in and told Megan
it
to take
turns,
a hike.
It
so.
Turns out. It turns out Allie is actually the creator of the He-Man Woman Haters Club and told Megan that she got to get to step in.
All right. Play the interview.
Awesome. Well, very exciting day here on the DNVR Avalanche podcast. Very special guest, Avalanche forward Alex Newhook, joining us here today. We're at Family Sports. Practice just wrapped up. I guess it's practice now, right? We're not really training camp. Alex, first of all, thank you very much for taking a little bit of time out here to chat with us. You've been asked probably 100 times in the last 2 weeks, but obligatory, how was the summer?
Yeah, summer was great. Short, but wouldn't want to have it any other way. A lot of celebrating, got enough time to relax, and then back here just in time to get going again.
Yeah. We saw the cup parties. You guys had some folks, you guys had some gatherings here together once you guys all got back in town with the cup. Was it Waka Flocka? That was with you guys?
Yeah. At the beginning of the summer, yeah. First week with the cup. I think you showed up at one of our parties.
That's crazy. Were you guys just kind of running into that stuff all summer?
Yeah, it seemed like it. Obviously you carry some attention there when you win the Stanley Cup and everyone kind of wants a piece of it. And it's cool. You get to do some pretty cool functions and meet some pretty cool people. And we definitely have enjoyed our summer so far. And the ring ceremony coming up is going to be really fun. And,
yeah.
Trying to make the most of it until we have to give it back and chase it again.
Yeah, I was going to say we are coming up on that. We'll move on from the cup stuff, but we did have to ask you because once we saw the Waka Flocka stuff, Logan had Russ at a dinner or whatever, if you could handpick one celebrity to have be part of your cup celebration, who would it be?
Ooh, that's a great one.
Tough question.
Yeah. I was going to say.
Jeez. I'm going to stick with the music theme here.
Yeah.
What, did he say Russ is in the singer or the basketball player?
No. I guess Russell Wilson, the football player.
There we go.
Yeah, I was going to say.
A lot of Russes.
Yeah.
I'm going to stay on the music train, though. I would have J. Cole at my party. I'm
okay.
A big fan.
Yep.
And maybe play a few tunes and be cool.
I think that's a fair trade-off. Yeah. All right. So move on from the cup stuff. This is your, second or third training camp now?
Yeah, it's my second.
Second camp.
Yeah.
What's just kind of been the difference for you this year? For you individually, obviously things are run a little bit different this year with the shorter summer. How have you felt differently in terms of, your role here and just kind of being that kind of veteran leader to some of the younger kids?
Yeah, it's a lot different than last year. Obviously coming in blind, not really knowing what to expect at a training camp. Before I did a couple of rookie camps, but it's never to the same intensity as an NHL full training camp when you're around guys like this that, you come in and it's intense right from the get-go. And I think knowing what it was like last year and now coming in this year and having a bit of familiarity with it, I feel more confident just knowing what's ahead and like you said, some different roles being up for grabs, a bit more for me to play for. Not a bit more, obviously last year I was playing to make the team, but
right.
It's a different circumstance and I know that there's more being asked of me this year and I'm trying to do what I can to be ready for that and try and earn a spot like that.
Yeah.
How much of a positive lesson was it for you last year that, out of camp you did make the team, but then you got sent to the AHL and then, you're only there for a couple of weeks before you came back up and you've stayed here. How much of that was a good building block learning lesson for you?
Yeah, I think it was huge. And, I think a lot of players, myself included, when it first happened, I wasn't very happy about it. Obviously, I was, kind of upset and disappointed in myself that I didn't do enough to stick around early in the season. And, obviously my goal was to stick on the team, but looking back at it, I think I learned more in those 2 weeks down to the AHL than, I might have learned my whole career. And, to go down and get some coaching, play a lot, know what they expected of me when I came back up and know what I had to work on. I think really just trying to focus on those things that I was told and go down and get some confidence back before coming back up. I think it was great for me and I'm happy with the way things worked out.
And how much did that help you in this year's camp where, you you know that, hey, you're going to be part of the team, but if you don't meet expectations, there is always the alternative.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, you know, especially last year, you know, beginning of the season, obviously being sent down, but then at the end of the season, you know, being out of the lineup to start playoffs and everything like that, you know, I think it was a big lesson for me all year last year. It was kind of really don't take any moment for granted. There's always a guy that's trying to, you know, outwork you and take your spot. And, you know, for me, that was a big thing coming in this year was just making sure I, you know, make the most of every opportunity that's given to me. You never know what can happen, and got to earn your spot. So it's kind of my mindset.
It's so interesting to hear that because obviously, like in the media, we talk about that a lot. Like, oh, you know, it'll be good for him to get his head right and play the, you know, play more reps and stuff like that. But it is so interesting to hear that. Yeah, that is kind of the process that you have to go through in order to get back. Obviously, Evan Rodriguez comes in late in the summer, and just from talking to Jared this last week, it does sound like it's kind of you and him and what they're looking at for that second line center role, or just to play a little bit of an elevated role. Do you look at it at all as competition, or are you guys just trying to focus on yourselves, be the best person that you can be, and let the chips fall where they may?
Yeah, I think there's a bit of competition there. You know, obviously everyone wants to have an elevated role and everyone wants to play a lot or whatever, be a big part of the team. But, you know, I've been playing with E-Rod, you know, ever since I've got here, really.
Yeah.
And so it's been nice to play with him. Obviously a really skilled player. You know, who knows what the coaches see in the lineup there. But, yeah, both of us, I think, are just trying to do what we can here, you know, be as effective as we can and you know, let the coaches kind of take care of the rest of it.
You've spent most of your time in the NHL so far playing roughly third line. Obviously the 2C job is the one up for grabs here. How much of a difference is there really between the bottom six and the top six in the NHL?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a pretty big difference. You know, on a team that's very skill based, you know, every line plays with skill and pace. But when you get the opportunity to play a little bit more and, you know, play with some higher end skill players that are always looking to make plays, you know, kind of everyone on the ice, as opposed to playing more so of a checking role sometimes on that third line. It's exciting, you know, and just getting those more touches, you know, some more offensive zone looks, you know, it's a bit of a difference for sure.
What was the, I guess I don't know if it's a surprise, but, you know, obviously your whole career, your whole life, you've played really high-level hockey, you know, major, junior, college, all that stuff. I guess not major, junior, but college, AHL. How surprising was it to get to the NHL and actually see the difference in the speed? And can you even really describe it unless you've, like, lived it?
Yeah. Not really. I mean, it's a whole different beast, and you got, you know, the best players in the world are out here.
Yeah.
You know, obviously college is fast-paced, the AHL is fast-paced, but when you get up here, I think, you know, the biggest thing that I noticed was just you know, level that everyone thinks at. It's, you know, mm-hmm. It's that much faster because everyone's thinking the game that much better and that much quicker. So you got to get adjusted to that pretty quickly, but at the same time, you're playing with better players as well. So
yeah.
It kind of makes it a little bit easier on you, even though it's faster and you got to keep up. It's still guys are helping you out a bit.
Can you think of any player that surprised you with how good they were once you either played with them up close or saw them play up close that maybe they surprised you?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just gonna say Nate. I feel like that's the obvious one, but you know, I as a guy that I like to think of skating's a big part of my game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I always watched Nate growing up and just how effective of a skater he was and how powerful he is. And you know, I think some of my explosiveness is a big part of it too. And being able to just watch him up close, I was wowed by actually how explosive he was. And
yeah.
Realizing that there's another level of explosiveness that, you know, I can get to, that anyone can get to, and
yeah.
It's fun to watch him like that.
Just kind of building off that, what is it like to be part of a team that plays so fast? I mean, you have MacKinnon, but then, oh, like Cale Makar is just back there.
Yeah.
And, you know, Bowen Byram, Sam Girard, like great skaters just all throughout your lineup.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. You know, and it's a style of play that, you know, I've loved to play all through, and you know, always trying to bring that pace and you know, push the pace all the time. It's fun when you have guys around you that are trying to do the same thing all the time, and it's a big emphasis for our team too, is just playing with speed. And I think coming into a team like that where it's been a big part of my game and be able to step into it, it's been a lot of fun.
I want to focus on the word fun for a sec, because you know, when you talk about professional sports, it's like the bottom line is winning and losing, you know. And but it really does seem like over the last couple of years, especially as the Avs have gotten have really ascended, it seems like fun has become a big part of it. You know, you guys like to play together. It's fun the way that you play, the speed and the pace and all that. Like, there are teams out there that, you know, that they try and win 2-1 and it's effective, but it looks miserable. And it never seems to be the case with you guys. You guys look like you're genuinely just enjoying it. And how much of an impact does that have when you're talking about this being your job, that you just have fun at work every day?
Yeah, it's a crazy job. Like you're saying, you know, we're going to work to have fun. But, I think a lot of it starts in the room. Obviously, you got to have a good room. And when you show up to the rink and you enjoy being around each other, it's a huge part of it. Like you said, showing up every day, it's just nice when you have that kind of group. But, our style of play is very skilled and fast. And, you know, there's a few teams in the league that have the same character guys or same personnel that we do that can play that type of style all through our lineup. And it does. It makes it fun. You know, we're always trying to play offense. We're always trying to make plays. And that kind of hockey is fun. It's fun to watch, and it's fun to play as well.
Yep. And I hate to go back to the playoffs because I know we're – so much about looking forward, but I believe it was after game 3 of the cup final, Nate was talking to us after and he said, look, that was a tough game, but we are trying to remember that this is fun. This is an exciting experience. We're getting to play for a trophy that every player dreams of. Looking back on it now, going through that experience, again, that's something we hear a lot. Oh, you have to know how to go through it. This is a team that knows how to win. What was that just whole cup experience, the run like for you? And then how much of a difference do you think it has made in the way that you guys kind of view the season, your team, yourselves as players?
Yeah, I think a huge learning lesson for everybody. You know, obviously for our whole team, like you were saying, teams that know how to win, you know, once you experience it once, it goes a long way with teams moving forward. You see with teams that, you know, win a cup, they go on to win another one or maybe not back-to-back, but in the few years coming after.
Right after, yeah.
It's big for that. And I think everyone individually learns a lot, you know, about themselves, about, you know, the role that they need to take on, about what it takes to win. You know, myself personally, I went through a big, big learning curve there when, you know, I wasn't playing in the first round. You know, never really have been a part of a team where I'm not playing, but I'm healthy and, you know, just wanting to be a part of it so bad. And, you know, I just remember going through my head of, you know, whenever that time comes, and everyone was telling me it's going to come, but it's hard hearing that in every game you're watching. You keep winning, obviously, it's great, but, you know, just tried to make sure that whenever that time came, I was ready. And, you know, a lesson like that, obviously there was so many of them during the playoffs, you know, looking at guys, how we need to win, how we need to play and be consistent every shift. But, just being ready to go whenever, you know, you're called upon, I think was a big thing that I took personally from it.
And I just feel like that's so huge, especially just so early in the career and stuff like that. Sorry, Rudo, were you going to say something?
Yeah, I was just going to say, knowing you likely do have a little bit more of that opportunity this year, are there any specific goals you have for yourself this season?
I don't have anything really set out. You know, I kind of just came in.
I feel bad. I literally asked him that question like a week ago.
No, it's all good. So, well, when you asked me, I actually hadn't really thought about it too much. You know, my mindset kind of coming into camp was to just try and, you know, earn a spot and earn a role here. You know, obviously everyone knows what's up for grab and what's open, but my mind hasn't really drifted from that. You know, I came in trying to earn a spot and, you know, kind of we'll go from there once the season starts.
And then do have a fun question for you. Everyone we have on the show has to give their bad food take. A couple examples. I like mayo on burritos. We had someone who puts mustard on pizza. So some kind of food you like to eat that's gross, basically.
Yeah. Is there like a concoction somewhere that other people would be like, I'm good. That's a you thing.
Wow, that's a good question.
It's like, if we have kale on, we don't need to ask. Like, the mayo chicken, like, that's well documented enough. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I just kind of immediately went to, like, mayo again. But I'm going to go mayo and French fries. I don't know if that's weird.
It's a really Canadian answer. Yeah. It's a really Canadian
answer.
Like,
I don't do it all the time, but when I do, I'm always, like, pleasantly surprised.
Yeah.
See, I'm very anti-mayo, so, yeah, that counts for me. Yeah, right. For sure. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You might have just become my wife's favorite player.
Cool, Alex. Well, yeah, like I said, we're not going to keep you too long, so we really appreciate you taking some time to sit down with us, and good luck this season. Obviously, we enjoy watching you, and we talk about you a lot. We always have listeners that are always asking for more about you, so really, really appreciate you jumping on with us.
Cool, thanks for having me.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Linus Olmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team, we'll talk about your least favorite team, and everybody in between. And we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.